Well, if someone does something bad to me, the world would say what? Do something bad to them. Get even. But Jesus says what? He says, turn the cheek. Let them slap the other one too. Love your enemy. And we go, wow, that's hard. That's a difficult mindset. That's a change of perception. The thing behind wearing glasses is what? We believe that we're not seeing things clearly. That's the belief. We believe we're not seeing things clearly. Or someone tells us you're not seeing things clearly. So what is reality? What I want you to do is, Tom in the back there, I want you to turn off the lights. Just the ones up front, leave those on. But I want you to turn out the lights, and I'm going to ask somebody to shut the back door if they wouldn't mind. Two doors there. You can leave these front ones on. Now, what I want you to do is I want everybody just to close your eyes. I just want you to close your eyes. I'm not going to do anything strange. You don't have to worry about anything. But I just want you to close your eyes, and I want you to simply listen to the word of the Lord speak. Just simply listen to the word of the Lord speak. Revelation chapter 4. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments, with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass, like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within and day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Amen. What did you experience? Was it hard to unplug from thoughts, from the world? Or did you actually picture yourself before the throne room of God. In his very presence, there's a rainbow of emerald. There's a sea of crystal like glass. There's these four living creatures with eyes throughout all of them, within them, through them, looking at you from every angle. And there's these 24 elders, 24 men seated around a giant throne. And the light is brilliant. And they're constantly going down on the ground and casting their crowns before God. And as the living creatures say, "Holy, holy, holy, worthy is he. Worthy is he, worthy of praise." Is that the picture that you get every Sunday when you come to church? What's your perception? What's reality? What glasses are we wearing? So the gentleman said, Daryl Johnston, is that when we come together to worship on Sunday, we're actually joining a worship service already taking place. Because the throne room of God in heaven has been worshiping day and night, constantly, unceasingly. Picture that. That's reality. Do we perceive it? If you believe that the world is all there that there is, you may choose to live with the mindset that nothing matters eternally. And so you might live with the mindset that I'm going to enjoy everything while I can and do whatever I want. If I believe the world came together by chance, I may look at everything as fate, as good or bad fortune, and I am lucky or unlucky to experience it. If I believe this world makes sense and is logical, I may look at things as having and serving a purpose with intentional design. Ultimately, we are looking to answer the question, what is my purpose? Why am I here? Why do I live? Why does anything and anyone exist? Why is there trouble? What we're asking, what is reality? What is true? There has to be something better than this. So we see things, we see people, we see circumstances, and live with a particular set of glasses that we believe is reality or truth. Conflict and harmony exist in the world because of different views, different mindsets of what reality is or what truth is. Simply, what I believe to be true or false will shape how I live. What I see informs how I live. That's the perception. The problem is, none of us believe we are blind, or that what or how we observe reality is distorted. What I'm seeing is the truth. You hear it every day. What I know is the truth. What I've experienced is the truth. But what gets us really upset is when someone tells us that what we observe and that we're seeing is not the reality, and what we are observing is not the truth. What they are saying is, your glasses are wrong. Does that make us angry? It makes us upset. But the theme of Revelation is what? Things are not as they seem. things are not as they seem. Our lives and our happiness are diminished to the extent of our blindness or distorted view of reality. Our lives or our happiness are diminished to the extent of our blindness or distorted view of reality. What is reality? Jesus has walked into the city of Jerusalem, and he knows it's his time. His disciples have tried to dissuade him. Don't go there, don't do it. He's talked with them, he's had supper with them. He's taken into custody. Innuendo has been cast, lies have been told, and we want him put to death. He claims to be our king. He claims to be the Son of God. So Pilate is led, or Jesus is led before Pilate. And there's this conversation that happens surrounding what? Kingdoms? What else? Are you the king? It is told that you are a king. The argument is surrounding reality. Pilate says this, "What is truth?" John 18:38. What is truth? And Jesus says, those who listen to me is truth. That is truth. We find that in John chapter 18, verse 38. Pilate is saying, truth is subjective, truth is relative, truth is speculative. But Jesus is saying, truth is reality. It's integrity in life. Jesus' mission was to integrate, reinstall, or redeem truth into this life. That was his job. What was lost in the Garden of Eden through the first Adam would be reinstalled, redeemed into this life through who? The second Adam, Jesus Christ. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, in this way death spread to all men because all sinned. Romans 5:15-19, but the gift is not like the trespass, for if by the one man's trespass the many died, how much more have the grace of God and the gift overflowed to the many by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ? For just as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so also through the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Jesus is getting at with Pilate is integrity of life. Lining up truth with reality. Pilate sees Jesus as a problem. Not his problem, but a Jewish problem. He sees Jesus as an annoyance. He sees Jesus as a problem that needs to be expedited and taken care of quickly because I've got other things to do. He doesn't want to deal with truth. He doesn't want to deal with the innuendo. So he comes up and schemes up with an idea and goes, okay, I don't see anything wrong with Jesus. He's innocent. He's not guilty of anything. Crucify him. Crucify him. I'll give you Jewish people an option. I'll release to you Barabbas, who is a thief, a robber, a murderer, and an insurrectionist. and I'll put him, release him to your custody, back into your society. He would have much the reaction that we have of putting a child predator back into our community. That's the feeling. Or Jesus says, or Pilate says, I'll release Jesus to you. Which of the two do you want? Because this is a tradition that you have at this time of festival. Who would you choose? A murderer? A robber? A thief? Or a wonder worker? A healer? One that provides comfort? Who would we choose? Jesus. But the people choose Barabbas. They willingly choose Barabbas. Because why? The glasses they have on are wrong. They've been lied to. They've been led astray. Truth does not line up with their view. So we'd rather put Jesus to death. He claims to be the Messiah. Even though he does all these healings, all these miracles, he fed the 5,000, the 4,000, heals a man born blind, heals a man that's mute, brings a man back to life. We don't want to line up with reality. The truth that Pilate valued was messing with the Jewish leaders. He knew they wanted to put an innocent man to death, so he gave them a choice. But it didn't go the way he thought it would. Our perception of reality determines our quality of living. Jesus was much worse than Barabbas because he claimed to be God and king. We will make do with Barabbas the thief and murderer than Jesus the healer, provider, and comforter. Our world would more seemingly embrace the ways of the teachings of other religions rather than the scourge of Jesus or Christianity. Our world's mindset is determining its quality of life. How is the quality of life? How is your quality of life? Pilate's glasses distorted the perception of reality, diminishing his happiness. But in reality, Pilate's imperfect perception and understanding of Jesus led to what? Eternal life for man. God got his way anyways. He worked through the imperfections of man to bring perfection to man in Jesus. He works through our perception that is inadequate and still brings the truth to bear upon mankind. Jesus laid down his life so that the imperfect, the flawed perception of man about reality could be healed. Not just man's perception of reality, but that his perceptors could be healed. His heart, his mind, his eyes, his ears, his mouth, his hands, his legs. Question is, how can man possibly perceive this reality correctly when we believe we are God? That was the lie in the garden. That was the lie that Satan tempts every single one of us with every single day. You can be God. And we want to believe that. We want to embrace that. He pulls us away from reality. If we believe we are God, what we believe per se, say, and do is right, and no one can tell me any different unless they can show me different. But first I have to be open to it. First I have to be open to it. There's many preconceived notions of who Jesus is. But no one comes to Jesus unless the Lord draws him, and he's open to being drawn. And he becomes open through circumstances. So then as a result, our world is just as an existence and a battle of people who believe they are all God, how are you supposed to live in a world like that, not to say the least, live in harmony? Everybody believes they are God. In Pilate's discussion with Jesus, and Pilate asks, what is truth? His statement, Jesus said to him previous that he was born for this, and I have come into the world for this. What's this? To testify to the truth, to what reality is. Yes, I am a king. And Pilate's going, what is truth? You're standing before me, disheveled. You don't have a crown on. You don't have robes on. You're not riding a horse. You came in riding a donkey. You're not a king. But reality is different, isn't it? We know he is a king. What's it say about... Can't always tell what a book is by looking at the cover. Right? But with Jesus, man, the cover is awesome. And we question the cover. Pilate did not want to listen to Jesus' voice, and neither does the world. Nor do we at times, maybe more times than not. So is my perception of reality accurate? Are my glasses focused on reality? So here we have this picture of the throne room of heaven. What's my vision of heaven? What's my vision of earth? A clear vision of heaven will clear and sharpen my vision of earth. Do we have a clear vision of what heaven is? We go through this briefly and quickly. We see in chapter 1, it opens up with, look, behold. Look, behold what? Look, behold, an open door. Well, what do you do with an open door? You walk through, right? But many of us choose not to walk through. Right? But it's an emphatic. Look, behold. Pay attention. Will you take a look? It's an open door. It's an invitation to walk through, to see behind the curtain. Right? The book is called the Book of Revelation, the Apocalypse. The revealing, what's behind the curtain. John has been invited to look behind the curtain. It's another window. Notice in Revelation 4, what do we not read about? That we read about in the first three chapters. We read about the church. There's no longer a picture of the church. It's a new window. Remember that. It's a new window. So the question is, do we wish to see what must take place? Because that's the statement. You ever go to movies? Or you ever rent movies? Or we don't rent movies anymore, do we? We just like watch them on the internet. I'm like used to the Blockbuster. But the one thing that our family loves to do, my girls particularly, is they watch a movie, but they love to watch the outtakes. The bloopers. Because why? That's the reality. This is what happened. Right? There's truth behind that. It's an open door. Will we see what's behind the curtain? Okay, we read that a voice is heard. One of many voices are heard, but this is the first, and it sounds like what? A trumpet voice. What's a trumpet in Scripture indicative of? The voice of God. And the voice of God says what to John? He says, come up here. Right? Revelation 4. He says, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. If you got an invitation from God to see what must take place in the future, would you go? Yeah, kind of like the Back to the Future thing, right? Back to the Future 2, where Biff, he gets this magazine from Michael J. Fox that had been in the future, and he's able to bet on all the baseball scores and becomes a millionaire. Changes the future. If you and I could see the future and see what the reality would be, we're up for it, right? Because why? We want to make sure we're on the winning end, right? That we survive or what happens to us so that we can make things right. But he says, behold, there's a voice. It says, come up here. Immediately I was in the Spirit, John says. I was in the Spirit. The Spirit took hold of me. And there in heaven was what? Was a throne. Behold, a throne. Now, stop and imagine this. John is being told this by God. He's seeing this, and he's recording this, and he's writing this to who? The churches. To his people. And what is his people experiencing right now? Persecution. The imperial cult, they're having to make a decision between following a deceiving God, who is no God at all, is a man, or denying Christ. And they get this picture, this letter from John. It says, look, an open door. Look, a voice of God, and look, a throne. What's a throne mean? What's that?
Authority.
Authority. Exactly. There is an authority behind the curtain. Kind of get the picture of the Great Oz in The Wizard of Oz, pulling all the strings, everything like that. Except God is a good God. He's for us, not against us. And so there is somebody behind the curtain pulling the strings that has all the authority, and he's on a throne. The throne is occupied. It hasn't been destroyed. The one that owns the throne has not been dethroned. He's still on the throne. And our comment today is, really? Truly? Thankfully? Yes. And we go, wow. What if Jesus wasn't on the throne? Right? What if Jesus wasn't on the throne? So the throne is occupied. He hasn't been dethroned, and he has not left the throne. He's still there. Okay? There is only one person on that throne. Okay? There's not many. There's not a conglomerate. There is one person on the throne, one and only, the creator, the ruler, the authority. There is only one that matters, that tells us. And we worship him. He has the authority. He also has the power. We see a picture in the scriptures of what we see. This picture of one seated on the throne looked like jasper and carnelian stone. Jasper is green or white sometimes. Carnelian was a stone that was red. So we have this rainbow, emerald rainbow in the background as well, surrounding the throne. So you got this green, you got this red, you have this white Here's the picture. And it's someone sitting on the throne. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and all those thrones sat 24 elders dressed in white clothes. What's with the 24 elders and the 24 thrones? 12 tribes of Israel. 12 apostles. Gentiles and Jews. All nations come before God. There's authority. Jesus said, I will share my authority with who? And my reign with who? Those that follow me, he says. So we have this picture of 24 elders and 24 thrones. We see from the throne, we see thunder, lightning, and rumbles. What's that a picture of? God's all powerful. God's all powerful. You come before him and it's like, wow, here's a majestic picture and there's power. It's like we went and saw Shazam last night. And Shazam has electricity, power in his fingertips. Lightning and thunder. We had the song we sang with the water and the rain and the lightning. Right? What kind of picture does that instill in you? Awe? I would hope. What picture would that instill in the churches and the people following John? Encouragement. We have these rumblings and peals of thunder. The throne is occupied. What's behind the throne? The rainbow. Okay, what's the thing about the rainbow? It's a promise of what? Never again will I destroy the earth or the creatures of the earth by water. What is that? Grace and mercy and trust. Grace and mercy and trust. We see this picture of God on the throne. He's all powerful. We see the power emanating from him. But there's a rainbow behind him that says, you can trust me. You can approach me. I'm a good God. Reminds me of that line in C.S. Lewis. What's it called? Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe? One of those movies? Where it says, I forget what her name, asks the question about Aslan. Is he a good God? Yes, he's a good God, but he's definitely not safe. We get this picture. He's a God you can trust, but he's a God you don't want to mess around with. The other thing about the 24 elders surrounding the throne, did some reading about this, was the emperor at that time, the Roman emperor. When he went about and around, he had a guard that protected him. Guess how many people were in that guard? 24. What's the picture that the people would be receiving? Jesus saying, hey, I'm as powerful and more powerful than that centurion, than that emperor. Trust me. So the rainbow behind the throne. Before the throne, we have lamps of fire and sea of glass. The understanding of lamps of fire, it talks about the seven spirits. The seven spirits of God. Well, again, it's talking about, last time we talked about, seven is a number of what? Completeness. It's the completeness of the Spirit. There's also conjecture about this being that there's seven of them, the seven churches, complete walking in the Spirit before the throne. But there's also a sea of glass, like crystal. The belief back then was that the sea was an evil thing. It brought life, but it was a thing of chaos. Brought destruction. So we see there's a sea of crystal glass before the throne. Is it raging? No. It's silent. What's the statement to John's readers? I've overcome the evil, the chaos. It pays attention to my authority. We read many stories of Jesus, what? Walking on the water. The disciples are out in the Sea of Galilee and the storm has come up and they see Jesus and he's walking, they walking across the water and they think he's a ghost, right? They scream out in terror because they're going to die. And what does Jesus do? Calms the sea. Again, drawing on that picture. Around the throne, 24 elders, but we also have four living creatures. What are the four living creatures? A face like or looked like an ox, looked like an eagle, looked like a man. And what was the first one again? Looked like a lion. Conjecture, commentary. The whole picture there is that God inhabits all of his creation. All of it. He has authority over everything. He's made everything. Everything in his creation worships him because the four living creatures are doing what? Singing praise to God constantly, day and night. Holy, holy, holy. Worthy, worthy, worthy. All of creation is to be that, to do that. That is the purpose that we live our lives with, is to glorify God. When the emperor would come in to his court and come in amongst people, the people would say something to the emperor as he came in. Guess what that was? Worthy. 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 Here we have John, God stating, hey, I am way worthy, worthy, worthy than the emperor. So the people receive this letter, they receive this picture. John receives this picture. What an encouragement to John's heart. And John would write this and send this out to the church. What do you think happens? Encouragement. Continue on, continuing on. Be who you are called to be, because I will never abandon you. Didn't Jesus say that? He gave that to that great commission to the disciples and to every single one of us. Go out into the world and do what? Teach, preach, baptize, love. Teach people to be my disciples. Share the gospel, and I am with you to the very end. We have this picture that God gives to John to give to the church, that he is on the throne. This is reality. Who do we worship? What is reality today? Reality isn't what we see, what we're experiencing now. Yes, it's here physically. We are enduring pain and suffering. Happiness. Gladness. But there's somebody still on the throne. Do not be discouraged. Do not be disheartened. We know what Jesus said would come and what those last days would be like, living in those days of Antichrist, Antichrist spirit, Antichrist sentiment. But he says, I'm still on the throne. Do not abandon. Continue to live out faith and hope. What is our reality? What glasses do we have on? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the picture. I thank you for the picture of the throne room. What an encouragement. What an encouragement to John. What an encouragement to the churches. What an encouragement to the people back then. And what an encouragement to us today. Because, Father, we live in some difficult times. We live in some times that are becoming more difficult with more pressure. More pressure to stand up and to be Christ followers. But Father, you say you never will abandon us. You give us the Spirit to empower us, to remind us of everything that you have said and done, and to do the right thing, to do the wise things, to live for Christ. Father, continue to give us the vision, the view of the throne room. Encourage our hearts when we're down, when we're experiencing difficulty. Encourage us to look up, that you're still on the throne. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray.